And a young Syrian living in the United States, many of them are working with several anti-Assad activist organizations to counter that potential cyber retaliation. One Syrian rebel sympathizer is based here in Boston. His name is Mohammed Al-Bardan. He's a 26-year-old Syrian who came to the U.S. 2 years ago. He got a master's degree from Northeastern University and didn't return home because of that civil war. And he now works for a high-tech firm here. We spoke with Al-Bardan this afternoon about using technology to work against the Syrian government and what it's like watching from afar as the U.S. considers a military strike.
Unfortunately, it's not easy at all for any Syrians to see the situation that has started as a revolution, as a peaceful revolution in the country. It's asking for freedom and it's being a civil war right now. We are really afraid, as the American administration mentioned, that it's going to be only a punishment for him. So we are really afraid about civilians and about the revenge that Assad might take.
Is most of your family still in Syria?
Actually, most of my family are still in Syria. I have part of my family just arrived 2 days ago to the state, but they are coming here for a visit, and they are going to go back. My family is relatively safe in Syria. It's somehow relatively safe in the area that they live, but I have also lots of my friends are under risk of that.
Do you fear for yourself?
When the revolution has started, I protested in the street. I organized many stuff when I was in Syria. I was not afraid that time about myself, because we are asking for something we have the right to ask about. We were asking for freedom. Unfortunately, sometimes there are some stuff you are really afraid of, especially the technology stuff. The punishment of any action is close to that is very, very tough, I think. I don't think that any Syrian could be able to handle that.
You're a technology person, so maybe not everyone understands. What has been going on in Syria as far as a parallel technology war in terms of the Syrian government attacking in cyberspace your efforts and efforts of your other colleagues who are technology experts?
Actually, the Syrian regime didn't only attack people physically, they also started to attack them to take their personal information and try to detain them and to also try to harm their families.
Uh-huh. And how are they finding them? You're saying that are they breaking into their accounts?
Yeah, they hacked lots of accounts, hundreds of accounts, of Facebook accounts, Gmail accounts, Skype accounts, and they were able to find the whole group by just finding one person of them, and then after that try to track the whole group.
So they're not just blocking communication, they're also using those accounts to track down people? Are they actually arresting them or jailing them?
Actually, there are two parts here. One of them, they're the hooligans that they are trying just to make problems to the attack that were on the New York Times 2 days ago, just to make a denial of service for any of those servers, Financial Times, The Economist. And the other part is trying to harm people, and in a bad way. That one of them, when people are getting detained, they are trying to get their accounts information and try also to get into those accounts and to get the whole circuit that those activists were working with.
Are they actually using torture to get to that information?
Yeah, that's true. It's nobody could be able to handle the torture, and they have to give their information about their accounts. The issue that we were working on to be able to secure those people and secure their account after getting detained, so that the intelligence is not able anymore to open their accounts, even if they have the information.
So let me understand your role in this. You're helping the rebels secure their own accounts so that they can't be compromised and their friends can't be compromised. How do you do that from Boston?
Yeah, actually, normally you can do that everywhere if you have a good internet connection, if you have the skills that you need. Also, to have some people and organization that also help you. Facebook, Gmail, Google, Skype help a lot in this things to be able to secure those accounts within 2 hours, 3 hours after those activists were detained.
Another part of what you do, I think, is also generate information. And you were saying that you could send out to over a million people in Syria communications. Is that correct? What kinds of communications?
The project is mainly to support the nonviolent campaigns in Syria, to be able to reach Syrians on their mobile phones by sending mass amount of texts and phone calls, encouraging Syrians, telling them and informing them about all those campaigns to be to participate and to encourage them to participate and support other Syrians in this movement.
Software was used by the Assad regime to block certain messages. Can you tell me more about that?
It was like specifically against our project to stop and block all the SMS that we were sending to the Syrian mobile phones. It was called a blacklist that contains all the words freedom, dignity, strike, disobedience, and all other words related to the uprising. We were able also like to get this list, to hack this list and get it. So we were able like to include those words, to deliver those messages to the Syrian people.
Concretely, Syria, the regime there right now, Bashar al-Assad's regime, seems to have the upper hand technologically, and they've been able to hack into resistors' accounts. What makes you think that you and your small group will be able to counter that?
Because actually we have the passion. We know that if we don't do this actions, our people and our friends are going to be tortured and being harmed because of like the regime action. So we need to do it as much as we can.
Thank you, Mohammed.
Thank you. Thank you, Barbara.
Mohammed Al-Bardan is a 26-year-old Syrian high-tech expert living in Boston.